This is our number two.
Time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Chris Martin, did you see the email I just sent you seconds ago?
About Felix?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. Felix Spinell, our great historian. He's like the utility man. He can do it all. But he's produced a special, 50th anniversary special, of the airplane hijacking by D.B. Cooper. And I remember it so vividly. It was on this Thanksgiving weekend, and I remember exactly where I was in my mom's living room. I remember somebody from our church had just stopped by, and all of a sudden we were transfixed as we started to get information. And I think we had King 5 on at the time, but that a plane had been hijacked, and then the word started to come in that the guy asked for cash and parachutes. And then by the end of the night, he, of course, had opened the plane and jumped out, and they never found his body. Some people think they found some of the money down by the banks of the Columbia in southwestern Washington. But it was just a defining – it was really the first breaking news event, because I would have been just barely 10 years old. It was the first breaking news event that I was just completely dialed into. And then the next summer of 72, was the Munich Olympic massacre when the PLO went into the village. And I was just glued to Jim McKay and Howard Cosell and that coverage for hours and hours. And those are two moments that sparked such a tremendous interest in me in caring about the news, and maybe one day being to, you know, have an opportunity to talk with people about the news, because I was fascinated by those who related those stories to me as a little kid at home. So yeah, we'll do that in the 2 o'clock hour tomorrow afternoon on the 50th anniversary of D.B. Cooper's hijacking a plane out of SeaTac. But I'm excited for that. That'll be good. And Felix does such a fantastic job on everything that he does too. So that'll be a little treat for all of us tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. And then his special, the entire show, is going to run at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, right here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Okay, I want to do a little compare and contrast here. So the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, and by the way, if you watched Rittenhouse, I'll play you some of these cuts coming up here. If you watched Rittenhouse on Full Hour interview last night with Tucker Carlson, he was very different than what I expected. Just because, he's a much, much, much brighter kid than I expected. And he... you can tell. Sometimes people are just programmed and they know how to memorize stuff and they can sound brighter than they actually are. But then sometimes you hear people who are just, you can tell, innately bright. And this young man is. Few things, though. A couple days after the verdict, a couple of nights ago, there was a horrible tragedy in Waukegan, Wisconsin, where they were having just a community parade, something that is so important in Heartland America. And they had some dancing grannies who were going down the street. And all of a sudden, a car came blazing down the parade route, ran over several people, killed five of them. And then the guy jumped out of the car. He ran up to a house. And did you hear the details, Chris, of what happened when this guy ran up to the house?
No, I haven't heard that yet.
It's crazy. So the guy in the car, the attacker, he's a black guy. He ran up to a white guy's house. The white guy had been hunting that day and was just sitting and watching football. And the guy said, "Hey, I need to call an Uber. Can I use your phone?" So the guy goes, yeah, come on in. He brought him in. He said, you look kind of cold. He put a coat over him, gave him his phone, and then said, you want me to make you a sandwich? And the guy said, yeah, that'd be great. And it was just absolute Midwestern hospitality for an absolute stranger. And skin color didn't matter. You know, in this era where we're trying to teach kids to hate each other because of their skin color, critical race theory is evil curriculum because it teaches hatred. But you know, in a town in Wisconsin, a guy just saw another guy who looked like he was cold, needed something to eat. So he invited him in the house, and then the guy who owned the house, a buddy called and said, yeah, did you hear what happened at the parade? And realized that this is the guy they're looking for. And he chased the guy out onto his porch, and then there's a Ring camera of the police arriving and taking the guy down. So I just thought the hospitality angle of it was so unique and interesting, because there are not a lot of people around here who would do that sort of thing. The other thing I want to note is the media. When Kyle Rittenhouse was first arrested, people, including Joe Biden, called him a white supremacist. They called him a white nationalist who's affiliated with hate groups. CNN, MSNBC, they just slandered this kid every opportunity they could. And it was all made up. It was all an absolute lie. Now, the man who ran down the five people in the parade route is a self-described Black Lives Matter activist. Does the media mention that? Not one word. Not one word. They were quick to make up lies about Kyle Rittenhouse being a white supremacist, but they won't report the truth of this guy being a Black Lives Matter activist. And that just shows you, again, the media is trying to start a one-way race war. Many in the media, not everybody, but many in the media are. And so now it is, you know, we're starting to hear it. Von Mays is a Black Lives Matter activist in Milwaukee. And he said that running down, you know, the two women in their 50s and three women in their 60s and 70s. This Black Lives Matter activist, he said that this may be the beginning of the revolution.
But it sounds not possible that the revolution has started in Wisconsin. Started with this Christmas parade. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's something I'm missing.
Okay, the revolution may have started, and if so, the happiest people in the world will be those who have been pushing critical race theory on our children, because that's what they want. That's their end game, is revolution. Revolution being tied to Marxism. Marxism being the foundational viewpoint of political viewpoint of Black Lives Matter. All of the founders of Black Lives Matter are Marxists. They went down to South America to study with Marxist leaders as they started their organization up here. Why doesn't that even get reported as part of this story, when people were willing to just make up lies about Kyle Rittenhouse and his affiliations? And then we have to look at our governmental leaders and the role that they continue to play in all of this. Now, you may recall, I played a clip last hour of a woman we talked to on yesterday's show. Her name is Stacy. She's in a wheelchair. She and her husband walked on the ferry and got off in downtown Seattle when all of a sudden a naked woman started just randomly beating on Stacy. And she found out about the background of that random woman.
As for public record, she has 57 arrests that date back all the way to about 2000. I know for a fact that her last one was in 2021.
57 arrests, and she just keeps on baiting people. Well, this guy in Wisconsin, He has an arrest record going back 21 years. The guy who ran down all the parade people, Daryl Brooks, and the DA, a guy named Paul Butcher, appropriately named. He gave him, just a week ago, Daryl Brooks ran down with his car the mother of their baby. And he got only a $1,000 bail for that. And that's the only reason why this man was free to kill five innocent people two nights ago.
And he has a long criminal history going back to 1990, and it's all violent. There's firearms and drug cases in there, but the two you're interested in, I'm quite sure, are going to be he was charged with two counts of reckless endangerment with use of a dangerous weapon and possession of a firearm by a felon, and he was actually supposed to go to sentencing on 11-11-21, but because he pulled a new case, which was the case that you're talking about, the case was bumped, and he wasn't able to go to jury trial or plea, and he had several bail violations during that.
In other words, same as in Seattle and King County and Western Washington, just an absolute revolving door of justice where criminals, felons with guns, not allowed to have guns, where they're out on the streets, and then all the politicians say, we need tougher gun laws. And the DA there, John Chisholm, he said that, we're soft on crime here.
We're trying to design a system that's not just based on the same old, like I say, tropes that have been used for decades now to jam up prisons and jails. I'm not saying that having people in jail and prison isn't appropriate for certain categories, but that's what we've done for 20 years, and we didn't see any significant reduction in violent crime. When the system made the commitment to start focusing on risk and expanding our collaboration with other parts of the system, which, yes, sometimes means that we have to, in good faith, listen to people who have expertise in
what... I'm sorry, this is such a load of garbage. When you lock up criminals who are violent, guess who's safe? We are, because they can't attack us for every single day that they are behind bars. And when you let guys like that Travis Bergie, whatever his name was, in Seattle's most prolific offender, who had over 90 arrests and convictions until he finally brutally murdered his girlfriend and killed himself, and they just kept letting him go, stealing from people, committing all kinds of damage, eventually killing someone. And the woke, everything woke turns to bleep. The same John Chisholm that you just heard, who said, no, we've got to let everybody out of prison. He said, this is a quote from 2007. You bet my bail reforms will kill people. He said he had no doubt that when he put so many people back out on the streets with no bail, with criminals, that they will kill. They will rape. They will molest children. But it's better for the criminals to do it that way. And that's how we've been doing things in Seattle and in King County. And then they always say the same thing. Well, what we were doing wasn't working. And now you take a step back and you say, yeah, but what you are doing now, things have gotten a million times worse. But they all can go to their little cocktail parties and raise their glasses and toast each other at how progressive they are. Because I let murderers out of prison. Oh, John, if you weren't married, you let them out of prison. That's sexy. It's unbelievable. How about this? Let's start enforcing drug laws again in King County. By the way, we just got death results on the streets of King County. More than 200 people in the last year have died in King County on the streets. And why? Because our politicians have designed a system that attracts the worst of the worst addicts from around the country. When they're offered shelter, housing, programs, they turn it down. They would rather lead a life of crime and using drugs on the streets and sleep in ice-encrusted mud under a blue tarp and all too often they're found dead in the morning. And that's what's considered progressive compassion. They don't want to be swept, so we won't sweep them. We have too much compassion to just put them in jail for using drugs. We'll just let them kill themselves. And then again, they can raise a glass, toast each other at their progressive love. And someday soon, maybe, we will discover that this isn't loving at all. That progressivism, as it relates to government, is the cruelest political ideology in our nation's history. And yes, I said our nation's history, because of course there have been worse regimes around the world. But what we're doing right now, this progressivism, it's cruel. It's absolutely cruel. The numbers, by the way, 221 homeless have died this year. Let's keep drugs legal. Let's keep bringing people from around the country. Let's keep spending $100,000 tax dollars per homeless person and watch the problem get worse and worse and worse and worse. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, it's Tuesday. That means Dave Wyman is going to pop in for his weekly visit. I'm excited. I enjoy talking with Dave. I hope you will enjoy being a part of it as well. Next, here on the Dory Monson Show.
This hour of the Dory Monson Show is brought to you by Insulation Northwest.
Bengals.
Nope.
George Thorogood?
Nope.
Chris knows. Chris.
Oh,
write it down.
Think Chris tells us.
I have no idea.
Spinal Tap.
Nope.
That's a movie. I guess
That's
it was
a band.
It was a band.
Chris, who is it?
Motorhead.
Do you know what I like best about Motorhead?
What's that?
The umlaut over the O. Is that what it's called? Is it an umlaut?
I believe so, yeah.
Text it in. What's your text number?
888-973 Cairo.
There we go.
That's 888-973-5476. Dave Wyman is with us in a 0-0 tie early on in Name That Arts. Have you met Shane, who's run the board today, Dave?
Hey, Shane.
Your first time with Shane?
How's it going?
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, hey, who's that behind the glass? That's not Sean.
Yeah, no, just a little bit of a name change.
We never know. So we had a big announcement a couple of days ago that Sean is moving to a job in our production department at the radio station and isn't going to be our board op engineer any longer.
Yeah, he's got a great voice, man. I hear him all the time. It's like him. Remember Russ Simber? It's like I still hear Russ Simber on, you know, TV commercials and stuff.
Oh, hey, yeah.
There's my buddy Russ.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to tell you, Dave, right now we're about, I'm guessing, it's an estimate, we're about 69 hours away from one of my favorite moments of the year.
Leftovers?
Can you be more specific?
Oh, I send you a picture of my leftover meal?
Yes. Well, can you be a little more specific?
All right. So what I do, my leftover Thanksgiving meal, it's weird, but I get bread. I've been doing it since the eighth grade. Get a piece of bread, slightly toasted, and then I put yellow mustard on it. Mm-hmm. Then I put the turkey that I heat up on top of that, and then I put gravy over the top and then little chunks of butter so it melts in the gravy. And I'm just telling you, there's something about the mustard.
You left out the most important part.
I'm getting to that. So we talked about it. So what, two, three Thanksgivings ago, I had the squeeze bottle, yellow mustard, and I put on the bread, I spelled out, I heart Dory. Is that right? Do you still have that picture?
You kidding? It's framed and in our dining room.
Yeah.
Yeah, for all to see.
Yep.
Yeah, I blew it up to poster size.
I've sent you some stupid things, including that video on your birthday.
Yeah, that was cute.
My wife was very funny in that.
Yeah.
But we used, I had a big board that said, and she's like, Dave, how old is Dory? And I said, 60 or whatever. And she goes, what? Because of your H's that you.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
And then we sang happy birthday. Yeah, I know you got it, but I'm just thinking the listeners who are bored to tears right now.
Oh, man. So Thanksgiving's at home this year.
Yep. Same for you.
How many are you having over?
2, 4, 5 to go along with us two. But, and can I tell you, I was just telling Chris this.
Yeah.
Our refrigerator went TU. And then our microwave, our kitchen sink, the faucet was leaking. Our lower oven does not work properly. And what else? There's lots of reasons why we should not be hosting Thanksgiving. But we're going to do it anyway.
That's a lot of challenges there.
Yeah. But we got some of the things fixed. So, and we got like a microwave for a week. We've been doing the dishes and like heating things up in the laundry room. That's where we have put the microwave. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'd be lovely.
Interesting glimpse into my life there.
I still say to this very day, this will be my 61st Thanksgiving on Earth. I don't remember many of them. But maybe my favorite still is the Seahawks had a Thursday night game at the 49ers.
Yep.
And you and Paul Moyer and me, Matt Johnson, I think Max Strong, Craig Taylor, all of our wives, all of our kids came to the radio station. We went up in a big conference room, and we had this, seven families?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
It was like a big buffet that everybody brought something. And, yeah, and I think the Seahawks won that day, which is interesting. And that was the game where Richard Sherman ate a turkey leg out on the 49er logo.
Wasn't that also the game where it was like 6-3? And the owner of the 49ers apologized to the fans after the game for how horrible his team played?
Yes, I remember that part. I don't remember the score, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. But that remains one of my favorite Thanksgivings.
Same.
Because I tend to be quite insular. And I was talking earlier that when I was a kid, my Thanksgiving holidays were very stressful. Just because my family was kind of messed up. Mm-hmm. And so I said, when I have my own family, it's just going to be us. And it's going to be very small and very controlled. But I also realized then that getting together with several great friends is also a wonderful way to do a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's kind of a hassle. I bet you love it, but mostly I live for the leftovers. I mean, that sandwich I described earlier, I'll eat that for 4 days.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. One other question before I get to the more relevant stuff. So, do you ever look at Outkick.com?
Outkick, yes.
Clay Travis, who's becoming just a ubiquitous media figure. He is doing fantastically well. But with Outkick.com, it's primarily a sports site, but it's also some pop culture, and because it appeals to young men, they also like posting pictures of pretty women. But he has a story up right now that there's this super Instagram model, and she's dating the coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Mike Zimmer. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the Rams coach, doesn't he date some supermodel as well?
Wait, the head coach for the Vikings, Mike Zimmer?
Yeah.
Or is it his son?
No, Mike Zimmer.
Because, he's an older guy.
He's 65 years old.
Wow. Yeah. So, and Sean McVay, yeah, he does date this, or I don't know if he's married. Yeah, like a model or something like that. But he's like 38.
Right. Yeah.
35.
But Mike Zimmer's 65, and she told Maxim Australia that she has an MBA from Northwestern University. She says she doesn't have a type, just someone who's secure, extremely loyal, very driven, and loves a healthy lifestyle. And so she's dating a 65-year-old football coach. Could you have seen Chuck Knox doing that back when you were playing with him?
Oh, yeah. Chuck was the chairman, man. I mean, he had like a he had a ring that said CK in diamonds, and he had like the gold chains going.
Did he really?
Chuck was the man. Yeah, he was like Frank Sinatra, kind of. You go into his office, and yeah, he kind of had this swagger about him.
He's all blinged up.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
Well, good for Mike Zimmer. I'll tell you this. I remember when he was in Cincinnati, and they did Hard Knocks there, and his wife died. Yeah, she passed maybe 10 or 12 years ago. So,
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, and he was really bummed out for a long time. So good for him.
Yeah, good for him. What have we got here? Bring it up full for a second.
Dire Straits?
Nope.
That's a good guess, though. I need a little vocals.
The vocals don't come on for quite a bit in this song. It's got a big intro.
Oh, man.
No idea.
Yeah. I don't want to bore the listeners with too much of this.
Well, it is Devo.
Devo?
Really?
Yeah, Gut Feeling Slap Your Mama off of their album Are We Not Men, We Are Devo.
Huh. Wow.
I just remember they would wear those little
flower
pots on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, the energy domes. They get their musical powers from there, supposedly.
All right, it's still a scoreless tie with Dave and me, and we have a lot more to discuss as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Dave sounds like he has a bead on this one.
38 special? No.
Nope. The lyrics will help you out this way.
Flirting with Disaster?
Yep, that's the song. He's the artist.
Damn it.
Leonard Skinner?
Pretty close, but no.
Allman Brothers?
Nope.
It's not ZZ Top.
Nope.
I had this, like, 8-track tape.
Pathetic, Dave. We're pathetic.
We are. Yes. We're terrible.
All right. You guys give up?
Yeah.
It is Molly Hatchet.
Molly Hatchet. Man. My brother went to that. I went to so many concerts when I was at Stanford. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody, like, the Cow Palace, the Oakland Coliseum. I saw Aerosmith. I saw Van Halen.
Was that the Scorpions. Drunk or the sober Aerosmith?
Okay, so Aerosmith is the worst concert and the best concert that I've ever been to. Because the worst one was they were drinking and drugs and everything, and they got booed off the stage. And I remember Steven Tyler like spitting on somebody or something. They were just out of control, and the songs were terrible. Denver, 1994, my wife and I were, and my trooper of a wife who was pregnant, like 6 months pregnant, she went with us to the Aerosmith concert in Denver, and it was fantastic. So yeah, that's interesting for those. I think it's the only I think I've seen Rush more than once, but I have. But yeah, that was interesting that it was the worst and the best.
Yeah. I just saw the Eagles a couple of weeks ago. They're fantastic still. They're just
two are gone though, right?
What's that?
Two of them are gone, right?
Just one, Glenn Frey.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, there might be somebody else.
No, I'm saying as far as didn't somebody else die?
Just Glenn Frey's the only one I know of. Jeez. There might be another.
You know what? I've become my dad officially. We used to give him a hard time all the time about. He was like, "Didn't he die? I think he died."
Well, the older you get, you become obsessed with death. The older you get. At least that's what I'm discovering.
This is taking a turn for the worse.
Yeah, I know.
All because of Molly Hatchet.
Yeah. I couldn't even hear her voice underneath all that music there, though. Molly's. So, Dave, what's going on here?
Oh, boy.
I saw the Kraken have the third worst record in the NHL. Huskies just fired their coach.
Yeah.
They're going nowhere. The Seahawks are 3-7. And it's just weird that in a city that's so supportive of its sports, and Mariners still, I know everybody thinks they're on the upswing, but still the longest drought in all of major professional sports.
Right.
It seems almost impossible to have a confluence of lousiness like we're looking at right now.
Yeah, especially when you talk about Washington, which is such a proud, you know, and then what we've gotten from the Seahawks for the last, 12 years, basically. So,
yeah
I hadn't thought of it that way. Now I'm really depressed.
I'm sorry.
What do you think would happen if we got an NBA team in here? Think they'd go 2-80 or something?
They might, like the, was that the 76ers or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want an NBA team anymore.
Yeah.
I was really bummed when the Sonics left, and I was very fortunate because a pretty good friend of mine, he had a little tiny piece of the ownership group with Howard Schultz, and so I'd go to several games with him, and, you know, you're right down on the floor, and it was just, it was fantastic. But I can't even watch the NBA today. Do you ever watch it? And I'm a basketball guy.
No, you know, I've never been an NBA fan because, and it's kind of weird because I'm a huge college basketball fan.
Oh, me too.
I love college basketball, but the NBA, I don't know, the way they play just doesn't really appeal to me.
All they do is they come down and they shoot three-pointers.
Yeah.
And that's become the entire game. There are very few plays. If there is a play, four guys will go to one side of the court and clear out for the other. Your biggest superstar, LeBron James, is proving himself to be one of the biggest punks of any superstar ever with, you know, all his political comments, and then he cracked some guy in the face, and he made fun of Kyle Rittenhouse crying on the stand when he flops, when somebody barely touches him, which is the NBA equivalent of crying on the court. And between all of that, it's like their biggest star is just not likable, and he's making himself more and more unlikable every day. And the game stinks. I don't want the NBA.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to see them get a team back here, but I'm not a huge NBA fan, so... Yeah, I'd like to see him get a football team here.
What? Do you think Russ is going to leave since he made so much noise about it last year? Is he going to leave after this report?
I have no idea. I have no idea. It kind of sounds like it. I mean, when you hear that Russ, and this is just a rumor, but, you know, that Russ isn't happy, that they're not really focused on winning, and that's all Russ. I'll give him that. I mean, he comes up with all these... You know, some of these things that he says, it sounds like you're in a Mission Impossible movie. Failure is not an option.
Right.
You know,
right.
But that's who he is.
Right.
He wants to win.
I know.
He wants to win, but he's also sucking up $35 million, you know, if you're the salary cap. So,
hey, let me listen to this song for a second. Bring it up, Paul.
No idea.
Herman's Hermits.
Nope. You have no idea, Dave?
No idea.
How about you, Dory?
No, it's kind of a surf sound. I don't know.
Beach Boys.
Oh, couldn't be farther off.
I don't know.
No idea.
Some English band. Is it the Beat or the English Beat?
It's the Ramones. Come on.
It's the Ramones, just across the pond in New York.
Oh, man. Wait, did you get that, Dave?
No.
On your own?
It was Chris.
Oh!
I told Chris, there's like a piece of paper between us and a pen. I'm like, you can help a brother out by writing it down there, but he wouldn't do it.
Hey, Shane, I know you think you stumped us four times, but the way I look at it, you went 0 for 4 because if we don't know any of the songs, it's just no fun.
Well, I mean, they're all bands. I followed the parameters I was given, popular bands, and I told you I chose some B-sides. I'm not just going to toss up a bunch of easy layups to you.
Well, maybe we need easy layups at our age.
Shame. Off to a bad start, man.
Hey, man,
I'm intimidated.
I'm trying to do my best, man.
You can hear Dave Wyman every afternoon, 710 ESPN Seattle. Happy Thanksgiving, friends.
Same to you.
Send me that picture on Friday.
Will do.
All right. And we have the Big Lead of Two coming up next.